April 28, 2005, Public Advisory Committee meeting, teleconference to discuss and approve hearing proposals received as a result of an FY05 RFP.
John Gerster, I just checked with him and he is homesick, so we'll go ahead and get started, and I've asked Doug to go ahead and run the meeting from here.
You're off the hook, Stacy.
Oh, darn. I was looking forward to this.
Okay, so welcome. Let me go ahead and do the roll call. Corey Baker. Jason Broom.
Here.
Larry Evanoff. Gary Fandre.
Yeah, here.
John Gerster. No. Randy Hagenstein. Lisa.
Here.
RJ. Pat Lavin. Chuck Meacham. Brenda Norcross.
Here.
Pat Norman. Ed Page.
Here.
Robert Patterson. Ron Peck.
Here.
Martin Robards.
Here.
Stacy Studebaker.
Here.
Nate Treadwell.
Here.
Andrew Tuber.
Here.
Ed Zane.
Here.
Somebody else just came on.
Someone else just come on the line?
Yeah, Pat Norman.
Okay, thanks, Pat. Okay, so we've got the quorum. Okay, public comment. Anybody from the public want to comment on anything?
This is Ross Mullins in Cordova.
Hi, Ross. Would you like to take a couple minutes and comment?
Yeah, I would just briefly. I'm hopeful that you got a meaningful proposal this time on the herring. Here in Prince William Sound, we're still laboring under that deficit of fish. And one of the things that I gleaned here just in the last week talking to various folks at Fish and Game who've been out on their spring herring cruises is that things aren't looking any better this year. In fact, maybe slightly worse than last year. So, you know, it's an ongoing problem, and I hope whatever comes out of this proposal will be of some significance and help us move this thing forward. One last thing I'd like to mention is Ken Adams and my project, the Prince William Sound Fisheries Research and Planning Group. We have a website up now. The address is www.pwsfrap.org. So you folks might check that out and give us any comments that you have, that anything we'd like to see included or changed. We'd appreciate that.
Could you repeat that URL, please?
Yeah, would you please?
Just pwsfrap.org. It's still a work in progress, but we've got a public face on it now. We've had a collaborative structure for the science collaborators that have been working with us on our pink salmon survival model planning project for 05, and that is still in the background. Takes a password to get into it, but we brought a lot of the stuff forward for a public face, and we hope to keep adding more as time progresses. So if you have any suggestions, we'd be real happy to receive them.
Okay, thanks, Ross. Any questions? All right, any other public comment? Okay, next on the agenda, Richard and Brenda, you guys are doing a tag team on the update discussion on the FY05 hearing proposal. Who wants to go first?
Hey, Doug?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Gary Fondry. There is a quorum present, as I understand. Do we need to take any actions on the minutes that were from the last meeting?
Yeah, actually, we could. Thanks for bringing that up.
I will make that motion to accept the briefing minutes of March 18th.
And...
And we have January 27th also.
And January, what was it?
27th.
I'll second.
Who was that?
Chuck Meacham.
Any discussion? Yes, Lisa.
I think there's a word missing on the March. Just a typo.
Okay. Typo. Any other discussion?
Doug, this is Gary again, and I do have a comment. It's not one that we need to incorporate at this time, but I think in the future on the minutes, I'm looking at the ones from the 18th. On page 2, it talks about that there was one dissenting view regarding the RFP for hearing, and it really doesn't say what that dissenting view was. I think it would be helpful if that was probably included on any future minutes.
Okay, let me make a note of that. Okay. All right. Any objections to approval of the March 18th and the January 27th meeting summaries? Okay, so approved. Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
Before we get started with the presentation on the hearing review, proposal review, I just wanted to announce to the PAC that Brenda Norcross is going to be online with us here at EVOS temporarily on a part-time basis for the next couple of months as we go through the whole scientific process and the invitation and approval of projects, etc. So we're very pleased that Brenda has this time and opportunity to come in and help us before we get a science director hired.
Thank you, Brenda.
For sure.
Good background there.
Thank you. Are you ready?
You.
Okay. This is Brenda. I'll tell you about the hearing proposals. Hopefully you've each seen the stack review that was sent out to you yesterday, one on each proposal. The proposals were due on Friday. We had two proposals received. One, as you can see, and if you sign the confidentiality, you receive the proposals too. One was from G. Bryce, Terry Quinn, Fritz Funk, that had some other collaborators in it, and one was from Dale Kiefer that had Evelyn Brown as a collaborator. Despite the fact of the very short turnaround time, I took advantage of some friends and had them reviewed over the weekend. So there were three independent reviews of Kiefer, two independent reviews of Rice et al. In addition to that, I read the proposals and the other five stack members read the proposals. STAC had a meeting on Monday afternoon and came to a consensus. We looked very hard first at what was called for in the proposal. And as you recall, at the last PAC meeting, when PAC couldn't officially endorse anything because there wasn't a quorum, but the PAC gave whatever we called it, a sense of the committee or something that said they agreed, that the PAC agreed with the STAC not to fund the one hearing proposal that had been received and to put it out for bid again. And what we did, what the executive director did was increased the time that was available to do it and the amount of money that was in the invitation in hopes of getting a better response, which at least this time we got some viable responses. First, I'll talk about the Kiefer proposal. That's the one. No, I'll do. I better do the one we recommended to fund. We recommended to fund Rice et al. Because it was most responsive to the invitation. The invitation was very specific in that it wanted a summary and to look at all of the work that had been published, either as EVOS reports or in the refereed literature that's been done on Prince William Sound so far. The RFP was also very specific that they wanted, and this was based on some information that happened, they wanted comparisons of Prince William Sound herring stocks to other herring stocks that seem to be in trouble. That is Cherry Point in Washington and in San Francisco Bay. I asked the reviewers specifically to see if these were responsive to the invitation, and that's where the stack started with, are they doing what we asked for? And so Rice et al. Included all the components that we asked for. There were comments, of course, like the genetics section in the proposal was weak, but they answered it because that was a specific question in the RFP. Are you going to look at the genetics and see what it is in there? In general, all the reviewers were very impressed with the caliber of the scientists that were put together in the Rice et al. Proposal. And most of you know this, and for those of you that don't, there's Jeep Rice, an oil spill, a toxicology expert. Mark Carls is on there, who's also works with Jeep, is a toxicology expert. Mark and Jeep did the work on herring for the oil spill. Terry Quinn is a population dynamicist modeler with incredibly good credentials. Fritz Funk had been working for Fish and Game as the director of all herring management for the entire state, did it all during the spill, only retired in the last 2 years. The consultants on there are Gary Marty, who's the person who works on the disease in Prince William Sound, and Joe Ellen Hose, who's done what genetics have been done besides for Jim and Linda Sieb in Prince William Sound. So they've got almost everybody who's ever done anything on herring in Prince William Sound. All the reviewers were incredibly impressed with the fact that this proposal was laid out in an order, had clear objectives, had clear ways of addressing the objectives, and included everything that we asked for. Consequently, it was recommended for funding. The Kiefer proposal was looked at very carefully. As I said, it had two independent reviews. The stack was very impressed with the idea of it being an ecosystem kind of approach. Hence, you'll notice some of the comments in the Rice review by stack that said, we'd like to see a little more ecosystem approach. But the stack and the other reviewers felt that the Kiefer proposal did not respond directly to the RFP. The Kiefer proposal said it was going to take all this data and look at it and put it in GIS layers. Nowhere did it say it was going to go through the history of what had been published, look at results other people had gotten and compare them to each other. And that's one of the key points. It didn't include a comparison to herring populations in other places like Cherry Point, Washington, and San Francisco. It didn't include the genetics. Didn't include those subfacts. There also were concerns by the statistician who reviewed this that the modeling efforts weren't clear. And while Kiefer and Brown talked about doing modeling with the GIS, the statistical approach was not only unclear, it basically wasn't written down. So the statistician was pretty negative on that respect, and didn't think it should be funded because we couldn't really tell what they were going to do. So weighing the two, it came out to everyone who reviewed it to be clearly to fund Rice. This is on an incredibly short time frame. The PAC needs to take a vote on it today, and then there will be the recommendation that you saw. It will include the stack recommendation, the science coordinator, so Dick Dworsky will write his opinion. Then the PAC's opinion, it will go to Gail. Gail will make a decision. And then, Gail, how are you going to approach the trustee council to get this through immediately?
We can either call a trustee meeting or we can put it on the June 11th. Do we have it on the June 11th meeting? Okay. Then we can just call a trustee council meeting, teleconference, and have it taken up then.
Because according to the time frame that went out in this, it's for the funding to start May 15th.
Okay, then we'll need to do a trustee council teleconference.
And that's because this asks for an incredibly short turnaround. In fact, to try and get more respondents, when when Dick and Gail and I changed, and Rin changed this RFP the last time, instead of making the final report due in October, which was almost impossible and no one, you know, could do, what we did was we made an interim report so that the trustee council can have a sense of if the people think they're going to, there's going to be something or not. The final report is in February. And the other thing is the Rice proposal had a very clear timeline that it would make these deadlines, whereas the Kiefer proposal was going on for 2 years.
Would all of those of you online please check your paper, your pens, your cups, your phones? We're getting an awful lot of static and feedback here from noise online. So please be real conscientious about that. Thanks.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you very much, because it's awful noisy.
Would anyone like to make a motion with regard to the herring proposal?
I move that we accept the Rice herring proposal. The team he's put together is just absolutely outstanding. If anyone can answer the question, it'll be them.
I'll second that.
Who seconded?
Gary.
Thanks, Gary. Okay, any discussion?
Yeah, Doug, this is Mead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess my question is, I very much support doing a herring study, and I believe that a synthesis is important. I guess I'd say I didn't notice it. In reading the two proposals, I felt like we were going to get new information out of the Kiefer proposal, whereas I felt that basically we were getting a literature review out of the other. Though I know Jeep Rice and know that he can do a good synthesis, so I'm not really worried about it. I guess what I'm worried about is are the ecosystem, because the STAC had the caution on the study of ecosystem factors such as productivity and preyability, predator abundance, and two, I'm aware of a lot of research in that area that has been done in Prince William Sound that may well indicate a factor there. What are we going to do about that? I mean, it was blithely in the memo, Brenda, there was kind of a wave of the hand said this shouldn't affect the effectiveness of the synthesis, and I think it would. I mean, you know, there are new things we've learned as a result of science in Prince William Sound about herring biology, including the fact that they surface, including the fact that they tend to mass and attract predators. If we're not paying attention to that, are we missing something?
So, Mead, how about if you send me, I mean, I thought I was pretty much up on all the research, and maybe I'm not. If you send me all the references you're talking about, I'll coordinate with Jeep and everybody else and make sure it gets included.
Okay. I'll talk to you about it. I'm not sure I can give you the best references as a non-scientist, but I'll certainly point you to what I'm talking about. The second question I have is, in terms of the computer analysis the Kiefer was going to do, do you see that as useful?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
It would be interesting. I think scientifically it would be interesting. It might produce something. And it's one of those things, if we had a whole bunch of spare money, I'd say do it. But it isn't useful in terms of answering the question that was asked.
Okay. The next question I have is, how would we, either in a restoration plan or in a management plan, act on the information, or in a lawsuit, act on the information we're expected to get out of this?
Are you asking me that again?
I'm asking you and Gail that.
Well, in part, oh, that's another thing. At least in the Rice proposal, it said they were going to consider, because restoration actions, because that's one of the things that's specifically asked for in the RFP. The Kiefer proposal didn't say that. And I think having Fritz Funk on that team will help, as Chuck can attest to, from the management side. And so I can't tell you what I think they're going to decide. I mean, first, I guess it comes up to, can there be any restoration, which is something they will have to discuss. And then it will go to a wider community to discuss if there can be restoration than just the people who are doing the proposal, but at least the project, but at least that's a place to start. And if you're asking me, I will just tell you that I really wouldn't want to see a herring hatchery. If herring hatcheries worked, they'd be all over Norway, all right? And Chile, too.
I guess I would caution any of us to start by saying there's something we'd not like. You know, I'd not like to see restoration by atomic energy either, but that is the... Okay, well, Doug, those were my questions. I guess the question about restoration is do we feel, does the STAC feel, and does the executive director feel that you're getting enough to make that you're going out for enough to make a restoration decision if there is one to be made?
I think the STAC and the reviewers, as far as these proposals were concerned, were confident that the Rice proposal would get as much as was possible of being achieved. If your question is, if you're asking the question that is, oh, is there enough to go out for a reopener, the answer is, I can't answer that, and that's why the project's being done. And one other comment that you made at the beginning that I would take exception to was you said you didn't think that the Rice et al. Proposal was anything but a literature search. But when I read it with Terry Quinn's modeling, yes, there's a lot of updated data, but what I get is, my sense of it is, it's going to be an incorporation of all the parts that had not been put together before. The life history, the disease, the oil, the genetics, and the pop dye modeling all into one concept. So I do see that as new analysis and going forward.
Yeah, this is Chuck Meacham. I would indicate here that I think the Prince William Sound Science Center has a lot of the information that Mead referred to, and it would be very worthwhile, I think, for those folks to interact just a bit with the Science Center.
And Nancy is here. Nancy, do you have a response or a comment to make?
We'll be sure to provide the information we have to Chief and Brenda and everyone. I mean, I think some of it is not yet published, Brenda, but that's right.
I mean, just
toward that end, I don't know if this is appropriate, but Brenda, I'd feel a lot more comfortable if there were a predator-prey analysis among the added to the five blanks that they're looking at.
I'll talk to them. And all that's going in the notes. So that will go in, if the rest of the pack agrees, that would go in the pack's recommendation to the executive director. But
well, we have a motion right now on the floor to accept the herring proposal. Mead, do you want to propose an amendment to that motion?
I would amend the motion to encourage the proposers and the executive director to work out further attention in the synthesis to ecosystem factors such as productivity, prey availability, predator abundance, and marine conditions in spring 1989. I'm reading.
I'll second that motion.
That language comes right from the first note of caution in Brenda's memo.
So you have that
language. Yep. This is Chuck Meacham. That's fine with me too.
Okay. Any other discussion The motion on the amendment.
The public commenter make a comment?
Sure.
This is Ross Mullins again. I'd like to mention to Brenda that, you know, since the funding for most herring research was ended in the late 90s, there's a six-year period now that there has been ongoing work here, largely through the Science Center, and Dr. Richard Thorne has some very provocative things that he's developed that haven't been published, as Nancy mentioned, but there has been quite a bit of work done in this area, and I would like to suggest that you ensure that Jeep Rice and others make contact with Dr. Thorne and try to glean what he has been doing.
Yeah, I think we've got that covered, Ross.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion of the motion as amended? Okay, I guess we'll take a vote and see how this goes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, pass. Any other discussions on herring before we move on to the Cordova meeting? Brenda, if you could give me that language, I'll
include it. Yeah, this is it. I don't know if there's any more discussions regarding the motion or not, but I'm just really pleased to see that that the EVOS are getting back into actually doing studies and determine what is happening to the herring. I'm really pleased that you're going that way.
Okay, thanks, Ed. All right, next topic on the agenda, Sherry and Gail is going to talk about the Cordova meeting.
Good. As everybody knows by now, or should know by now, the next joint Trustee Council PAC meeting is going to be in Cordova on June 11th and 12th. And we'll be going down to Cordova on Friday night. I'm going to let Sherry talk about all the details on it. But what I want to work with you folks and discuss during this meeting this morning is the agenda for that meeting, which includes a 1 to 2 hour open dialogue between the PAC and the Trustee Council. We will have a couple of items of business to take care of by the Trustee Council during the meeting, but then we purposely planned this meeting because the PAC requested a time to sit and talk and work with the Trustee Council. So we need to have some kind of a structure for that discussion, for that dialogue. I don't want it to be a rehash of all the arguments and the objections that the PAC has already brought forward to the Trustee Council the last several meetings. We need to move forward. We need to know what you guys are interested in. I want to have a set of questions or items for discussion that, and I need that from the PAC members by about May 15th, that I can send out to the Trustee Council so they can be prepared for this dialogue. So I would just like to open up for discussion right now, and if anybody has ideas of what you would like to bring up, we get it on the list, but I do want everybody's list in to me by May 15th.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Pat in Port Grandma. Gail, was there a... I thought one of the topics was going to be community involvement. Is that still the case?
Yes, it is. Very definitely. And that's why we're... that's kind of why we've focused a meeting in Cordova, so that we can focus it on the issue of community involvement.
Great. That's great. Okay, this is Stacy. Mr. Chairman, I would like them to address reasons for turning down the small parcel and habitat proposal that the committee worked on over the winter. I'm not sure where we are with that that whole plan right now, so I'd like to put that on the agenda too.
Okay, that'll be fine, Stacy, and I'll just give you everybody a brief update. At the last meeting, when we presented the policy to the trustee council, Drew Pierce asked that we come back with an analysis of the purchase of the parcel purchases that had been done in the past, as they were referenced and purchased for restoration, and whether or not the results that were expected had been reached. In other words, she was wanting to have an analysis of the effectiveness of all the parcel purchases in the past. We're working on that right now to try to get something ready for the trustee council. That will be on the agenda in August, and I'm working with Carol Fries on that, and we will be bringing that back up to the policy issue back up to the trustee council in August, at the August meeting. But that's a good topic to bring up at the meeting in June.
Were there any other reasons why they tabled that proposal?
No, in fact, I think they liked the proposal very much. They just focused on the results of the money that had been spent in the past and wanted to have an analysis of the effectiveness of those funds that had been spent.
Okay. It'd be nice to have that as a discussion item.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, this is Martin, and one thing I'd like to put on the agenda there is a clearer articulation of where Division for GEM is at this point.
Okay. Any other ideas?
Oh, really?
This is Stacy again. Reflecting back on past annual symposiums that we've had, science symposiums, and then the one that we just had this year, in the past there's been more attempt to involve the public or the layman, you know, by bringing in kids and, you know, with Area Youth Watch and various other kinds of presentations other than just scientists. And I was, you know, it'd be nice to have a discussion about the format for upcoming annual symposia.
Okay.
Just how to involve more people, you know, other than scientists.
Any other ideas for Gail?
Well, this will give you guys an idea of what kind of issues we'd like to bring forward to the trustee council and issues to discuss. And Pat, Stacy, and Martin, would you please all just send me a real email or a brief message and just articulate in that what key points you want us to hit on those major topics. And
okay.
then everybody else, get your ideas to me by May 15th, please. My intent is that we will have about a 3 to 4 hour meeting, joint meeting with the PAC and the trustees before we go in to the PAC meeting itself to review all the 206 work plan proposals. So it could be a fairly long day. We definitely will be out before the reception for the Nouveau.
Hey, Gail.
Hold on just a minute. Lisa wants to speak. Say something.
Yeah, this is Lisa. I was just wondering if this discussion between the trustees and the PAC is going to be facilitated by someone. How are you guys going to set that up?
Lisa's going to have to speak up. I'm afraid I can't hear her.
I'm sorry. I'm kind of sitting in between both the speakers here. I was just asking if this discussion was going to be facilitated in some manner, because my impression as a new person is there have been some significant issues between the two groups, so I'm wondering how that was going to work.
I haven't made that decision yet. My intent right now is to get a list of all the questions and issues that the PAC would like to be brought up, like to bring up, and then work with John to structure it. Okay, somebody had a question online?
Yeah, Gail, it's me. One of the things that I has always kind of concerned me, and this has to do with ups and downs of EVO science funding, is that on the one hand, we've made the decision within EVOS that having appropriate science institutions in Alaska is important. Obviously, there was EVOS money that went into the hitting the Sea Life Center, and we've been very supportive of helping science institutions get started. Everything from what Ross Mullins is doing, the Prince William Sound Science Center, to you know, working Kodiak in several different places. And I'm just wondering, is there some sort of thing that the trustees and the PAC might even do together to get a simple enough financial briefing from the key science institutions in the state, and I'm talking about the university and the independent science centers, to see what is it that we need in terms of continuity of either science funding or capital work to maintain the network that we've worked so hard to create? Because I'll put it bluntly. I was not a happy person when we suspended EVO's funding after the C project to get GEM started. I think we took way too long, and as was discussed today, we have great data gaps now on things like herring populations because we did that. And the current shift or concern about moving off GEM or where we go from that, well, I support wholeheartedly the idea of making sure we do our job on restoration. I think we're making some of these decisions in a vacuum in terms of what we've, you know, the long-term effect that we've been trying to have on having good science in this area. And I'd like to have a discussion about that, but it might be useful for the discussion if you as executive director were to invite each of the, you know, the major science institutions that we fund or fund through to give us some kind of a snapshot on what they need and how dependent they've been on EVO's funding over the years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, any other thoughts?
Mead, please, and would you please send me an email with all of that?
Sure.
Thanks.
And before I crafted the email, I just wanted to ask you if you thought that was an appropriate discussion. And,
sure.
And if my colleagues on this committee don't think it is, I'll bark up another tree.
I think anything like this is an appropriate discussion.
Yeah, me, this is Chuck. I think you're right on, and I saw the effects of the delayed funding for activities. It was not a good situation. It did a lot of damage, I think, to the overall program for the state. So I like your concept.
Okay. Sherry, did you want to talk about logistics?
Yeah. I sent an email out last night that kind of outlined what the Cordova trip will entail. Do you guys have any questions of me? My intent is on Friday to bring all of the outlying people from their communities into Anchorage so that you can make that 6:30 flight. I believe it's at 6:30. And then if you're not planning or you need to get back from Cordova back to your home community before Sunday and you won't be on the boat with us, you'll need to let me know that. So if you're just wanting to go over Friday night and attend the PAC meeting on Saturday and then, you know, leave Sunday to go or Saturday afternoon to go back home, then you'll need to let me know that.
There's no Saturday afternoon.
Right. Oh, there's not? Oh. I thought there's one in but not one out.
I think there's one in, is there?
I thought there was one in.
Maybe I'm wrong.
You live there, I don't.
So,
okay.
Well, is the new fast ferry scheduled to be on yet?
No, not until June 18th.
Okay.
Was the last
we tried,
note.
But yeah. They kept delaying it and delaying it and delaying it. We didn't want to delay this meeting any farther.
Right.
So.
And once I found out they'd said June 18th, I just marked it off my list because it wasn't in the right time frame. So it could be even later now.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
After my email, a lot of you responded back that you are attending, so that was good. Do you have any specific questions? In the past, when we've done one of these, we've kind of had you as a captive audience, either on the trip over where we had a chartered plane or a vessel that you were all on, and we've used that time to bring you up to speed with a meeting packet that gave a brief overview of the projects that were in the area that we were going to, or we cruised by habitat and lands and stuff, and we had people, liaisons available on the trip to talk about those acquisitions or the projects along the way. And this trip really doesn't have that opportunity. The vessel that we're coming back from Cordova on is not like the one we used in 2003 where you got beat to death. It's a more comfortable, I mean, the other one had, you know, seating and was covered and stuff, but it was a faster boat and meant for something else. So we won't be able to go by like Fly Reef and get close to the shore if we go into Herring Bay. We'll just be kind of cruising by.
But you'll be comfortable and warm and you'll be fed.
And you'll be fed, right. So that would all be included in it.
Is there a bus at the other end to get back into town?
Yes, my intent is that we all meet in Anchorage and get on the flight and go in out to Cordova. Then on Sunday when we get back to Whittier, I'll have a bus meet us there and bring us back to the airport. For those people that live in Anchorage, then their ride can pick them up. And if it turns out that we get back too late for you to make your flight out of Anchorage back to your home community, then we'll have to make, you know, arrangements for a hotel. But all that will be worked out ahead of time. But the main, we'll all end up at the airport, whether you live here or not, just so it's a main meeting point.
And again, just a recap of the general day for everybody's information. We'll start the meeting at 10 o'clock, and Sherry will be at
the Masonic Hall.
At the Masonic Hall.
Which is a couple blocks up from the Reluctant.
All of the hotel reservations are at the Reluctant, and the Salmon Nouveau is going to be at the Reluctant. So everything is going to be right there. We'll start the meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning. The trustees do have some business items that they must take care of. Then we will go into the open dialogue. We will have lunch delivered to the meeting and do a working lunch. And then I would assume that by about 1 o'clock that the trustee portion only of the meeting will be over. At that point in time, we will go into the PAC discussion of the 206 work plan. And then as soon as we have gone through the work plan and you guys are finished with that, any of the members that are present that are not planning to go to the Salmon Nouveau, we'll make arrangements for a bus or for vans or such to take anybody that would be interested out to the glacier and to the hatchery. So there'll be good activities, whatever you plan to do. Or else you can just go back to the hotel.
And this
Gail, I have a question. Will the work plan that we discussed at that point have the recommendations from the staff?
Yes, it will. They're meeting on the 26th and 27th of May.
Great.
And we should have their recommendations shortly after that date, and those will be forwarded out to the PAC as soon as we get them from the stack. So you'll have them a little ahead of time.
Okay, so we will have them ahead of time. That's what
right.
I mainly wondered.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
So bring along with one you. The
other. Yeah,
bring your materials with you. For the Nouveau, if you want to attend, it's up to you this time to make your own reservations with them, and you need to pay by May 15th, or they'll sell your seat to somebody else.
And last year it was absolutely packed, standing room only, so...
And I laughed continuously for 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. It's well worth going
yeah,
to.
It was great. Yeah, and Doug Mutter took home a tray of brownies for $500.
Yeah, bring your checkbook.
If the weather is like it is now, it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Really beautiful.
And my children may...
SSC, for Prince William Sound Science Center, .gen.ak.us. And if you just send me an email or the website an email saying you're interested in reservation. Nancy Dinopoli will call you and make arrangements for your payment. We can take a credit card over the phone, or you can mail us a check. And we're just trying to because there does seem to be more interest this year in reservations, we're trying to get the details worked out a little bit farther ahead than we have in past years.
Okay.
And I'd like to go a little over, a little more on Sunday's agenda then. We will be leaving the dock at 9 a.m. And I know that that's awful early for following Saturday night, but we've got, it's going to be a fairly long day. It's going to be a very, very nice trip. If the weather is good, it's going to be phenomenal. And we will take the trip across, through the Orca Narrows, across the Sound, by Smith's Island, down to Herring Bay on Eleanor Island, and if the weather cooperates and time permits, Northwest Bay and on Knight Island. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful trip. It's going to take all day. So plan, we're not going to get back to Whittier until 6 p.m. And then it'll take us an hour to get loaded up, get through the tunnel, get to the airport in Anchorage. So we're going to leave Cordova at 9 o'clock sharp. We're going to be back here in Anchorage at the airport about 7 p.m. And I would encourage those of you that are planning to do that, you need to let Sherry know right away, because we do have limited space on that boat from about 40 people, I think.
I don't have that many rooms in Cordova, though.
Yeah, right. But just let Sherry know whether or not you're going to come back on the boat. And your option is to fly back, too, if you don't want to take the boat back.
John Gerster is planning to fly his private plane. And one of the staff members here is going to go by ferry both directions because they want to take their vehicle. So there are other options if you want to do that. But I'm afraid you'd have to make those your own arrangements for that, because I just want to do the part that is for the whole group. I'm sorry. But
Gail, you think we'll have the fast ferry running then?
No, it won't. We tried. I bugged the DOT all winter long, told them that we needed it online for this meeting, but it didn't help.
Well, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for trying.
Yeah.
Hey, Ed, your assignment, though, is to bring back that good weather at the right time.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
With us.
And Sherry,
Nancy has more pro on that than I do, so maybe she can do it.
The question was, will we have any scientists with us? And we have requested that, Sherry, who did?
For
coming back on the ferry, on the boat with us. Is Mandy going to be?
No, she's in the Aleutians.
Okay, do we have anybody yet?
Jeep really wasn't interested since we couldn't get off the shore.
We'll work on that.
I'll work on something, and yeah. I will have a pamphlet or a little booklet about the lingering oil in that area that the NOAA folks put together before. And since a lot of you are new, they can redo it for me, and we'll have that available.
But let's work on trying to get one of them
online
with us. Any questions at all on the weekend or the trip or the meeting or anything? Okay, just keep in mind I need your comments and your questions for the dialogue with the PAC or the trustee council. They need that by May 15th. And you need, if you're planning to come back on the boat with us, make sure you get that information into Sherry as soon as possible. That's all I have.
Okay. Chuck, did you have a question for me? Chuck Meacham.
Okay, any other comments for the good of the order?
I just let Sherry know that I will be in Cordova. I'm not sure yet how I'm going to get there, but do count on me being there in Cordova.
Okay, you're going to make your arrangements and everything then?
Well, I've got to do a little tweaking here, and I'll get back to you on that. I don't know yet.
Okay.
All right, if there are no other questions, thank you all for attending and participating, and we'll just call the meeting adjourned.